All right, well, let's grab our notes. We're going to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy tonight. Not the last book of the Bible written, but one of the last, if I can put it that way. And we, as we study and analyze this letter, as Paul wrote, it appears as though just shortly before his martyrdom. So we're talking about the date would be, in fact, I'm giving you some notes as we go here, and you're grabbing your Bibles and getting there, but probably around 67 AD. 67 AD would be our best guess as far as the date. Paul had been imprisoned, that Acts chapter 28, he was over in Rome. Best we can figure out, there looks to be that there was a time where he was released, was able to do some ministry. We know that from 1 and 2 Timothy, from Titus, the Thessalonians, not the Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, some of the letters written there gives us some of those clues, and some of the even the prison epistles, which would be Philippians and Colossians. Then it appears as though he was recaptured. We don't know really any of the circumstances of that. Nero, that wicked Caesar, had been on the throne, essentially, had been the leader since 54. He became the Caesar in 54 AD, so we're talking about 13 years after that. So Nero was there more than likely during both of Paul's Roman imprisonments. And remember, he was the Caesar that blamed the Christians for the fire that many people speculate that he actually set in the city of Rome. And they, of course, terrible, terrible, wicked murders of Christians and so forth. And then Nero obviously probably in charge of ultimately slaying Paul himself. In fact, if you want to go to chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse number 17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Many Bible commentators would consider not that he was directly referring to Satan there, the mouth of the lion, but actually referring to Nero himself in that comment. But he knows now that his time is short. So Nero, by the way, dies just about a year later, in 68 AD. Very interesting of that timing. Whether it had anything to do with Paul, we don't know for sure. God has those designs. As we know already, Paul was the writer of it. You can see that both the author and recipient, and Timothy was the recipient. It tells us straight up there in verses 1 and 2, Paul is writing to his son in the faith, to Timothy. The question is why did he write this? Why did he write? And I don't know that we have, I mean, other than as you look through the reading, and that's what we look through, why would he write this last letter? Because it's apparent that he's calling for Timothy to come to him. I do some writing, but I don't necessarily like the process of it. I realize this is inspired. But why? In my mind, why wouldn't Paul just say, hey, come on, Timothy, come, and I'll talk to you about these things, I'll tell you my heart, I'll express my love to you. Why did he take the time to write this letter, basically say, as soon as you can get here, get here? Well, a couple of things, and let's look at these verses, right? You can see the verses listed under occasion. Why did he write this book? Chapter 1, verse 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Down in verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. We don't know the depth at which the challenges and persecution that Timothy was facing in Ephesus was going on. We don't know for sure. Could it be that even in light of the fact that he wanted Timothy to come join him, he knew that Timothy needed encouragement now, just now. In ministry, there comes times, folks, when you stop everything because the critical moment to minister to a suffering or discouraged or confused saint is now. It's a crisis time in their life. And that's not the time for you to say, it's my life, I'll deal with you tomorrow. Okay? And that can happen to all of us. Now, to balance it out, not everything's a crisis. Sometimes people think they're going through a crisis when it's really not a crisis. If you just choose to do this one thing, it's all done. That sometimes the issue is really sin in their heart. They're not wanting to obey the Lord, all right? But there are times, and God gives you wisdom. And I sense from these couple of comments here in verses 4 and 6 that Paul sensed Timothy needs some encouragement now. I remember your tears, Timothy. Maybe he's remembering or knowing that Timothy is facing some challenges and persecution, maybe some challenges within the church work there at Ephesus. And so, even though he's hoping to see Timothy shortly, he feels like he better give him a word, a shot in the arm. And you know, if you've been there, believer, if you've been through a time of crisis in your life, that the Lord sends a believer along, or a note, or maybe a letter, or email today, or text, okay? At just the right moment, even though maybe that person doesn't even know that it's the right moment, but God knows, and it's just the thing you need to say, okay, I can continue on to serve the Lord. Let me encourage you, let us, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, strive to always be tender in our ministry, like what appears to be Paul being very tender to his son in the faith. There will be people in your life that you know better than anybody else, if I can put it that way, spouses, moms and dads, moms and dads too. Husbands and wives, don't overlook the ministry that you can have to your mate. Don't say, oh, they'll just get over it. Don't let it get pushed under the rug. Help them. If it means life stops, it means you need, you know, send the kids off on with a babysitter so you can sit down and park and talk. Whatever it is, those are critical times. Crisis times, spiritually needy times, are times to provide that type of ministry. And Paul seems to do that here. As we go on, go to chapter 4 then. Chapter 4. So it appears as though there was a deep need, is the bottom line. Why did he write? Because Paul sensed that there was a huge need in Timothy's life, and the time to address it was now. Not wait until Paul got all the way from Ephesus all the way over to Rome, which would not be a short trip, by the way. It would take some time. All right, in chapter 4, as we come down to verse number 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. So he's telling Timothy in this letter, come. All right, maybe they had some discussion, maybe there's some words about it, but now he's saying, Timothy, I need you now. Okay. So the importance of the letter was not simply to encourage Timothy, but it was also to provide the help that that Paul needed. And notice the description here. Verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me. Now that's discouraging. Having loved this present world and has departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia. Now, it seems as though that was a ministry-related thing, not because of Demas's heart, so he's not disappointed by that, but he doesn't have his friend Crescens there. Titus has gone to Dalmatia. We know that Titus had been in Crete, and we'll see that as we study Titus here in the next book. Somewhere along the way, Titus, there was a need that arose in Dalmatia, and Paul appears to have sent him there. Only Luke is with me. And then he says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Paul is now gathering around him again people that will be an encouragement to his own heart. As much as we think that Paul had this stalwart heart, and he did, he was very human like the rest of us. And he needed fellow believers to be an encouragement too. I know in some respects I'm preaching to the choir here. You're here. But believers, you need this. And you need it regularly. You need the interaction of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul did not try to do his Christianity outside of the church and outside of fellow believers. He found his brothers and sisters in Christ, and he brought them to him. This is critical for your spiritual well-being and encouragement. You want to mess up your life? I'll even be this bold. You want to mess up your life? Skip church. Skip gathering together with God's people. And that's a great way to start messing up your life. You want your life to be consistent, faithful, encouraged, be here when the doors are open. All right. And again, I realize basically I'm preaching to the choir, and you understand that. Keep it up. You know how needy you are. Don't forget how critical it is for our spiritual life to be here. And so Paul here, he can't go to church, but he's bringing believers to him. All right. He's locked up in prison. He's bringing Mark and no, just verse 12. And Tychicus, have I sent to Ephesus? Now, when you read that comment, if you don't realize it, wait a second. That's where Timothy's at. What's Paul telling Timothy? Timothy, we've got you covered, all right? Don't worry about leaving Ephesus and maybe there's some challenges there. I've sent Tychicus. He's coming. He's on his way. Could he have been the bearer of this letter? Possibly. Oh, we don't know. But the bottom line is Paul is making sure that the church at Ephesus has someone who's been trained by Paul, who's able to go in and step in and help. So really, really critical stuff. Look at verse 21 then finally. Do thy diligence to come before winter. It's urgent. It's urgent on Paul's part. Eubulus greeteth thee and Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. There's people waiting for you, Timothy. So come. So as he sends encouragement, Paul is not the great, powerful apostle that doesn't need anything. No, he says, Timothy, I need you too. What an expression of mutual love. And then let me put it this way. Why did Paul write this letter? Because God knew you and I needed it, is the bottom line. This is a precious letter, especially, but it's for all of us, because it's in the New Testament, all right? It's for all of us, but especially for those in ministry. To have this final challenge from Paul, last book that he wrote, to challenge those in ministry to stay faithful. And you're going to see that as we start walking through the outline. Paul is giving one last powerful preaching message to those in ministry to say, stick with it. Don't give up. Ministry is far worth it because one day you're going to be with the Lord in glory, but until then, stay faithful. So it's an encouragement to all of us. God knew that Timothy needed it, that Paul needed the reciprocity to come back, and he knew that you and I needed it. Okay, so we'll step in for just a couple minutes into the volume and value of the book. Again, one of these books where we combine both of these things. A smaller book, it's easier to do this and understand. So, chapter 1. What is chapter 1 about? I call it stir up the gift of God. There's your blank. Stir up the gift of God. And that's in verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance. He's kind of given his introduction, verses 1 and 2, mentioned how he's prayed for him and thanks God for him, rejoices in what God has done. And this is really a strong point, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting out of my hands. He's talking specifically here about the call of God on Timothy's life to be a pastor, to be a laborer in God's harvest field. And so the entire chapter seems to focus around this one command of stirring up the gift of God. How does he stir that up? How does he encourage Timothy to stay faithful, to grow and expand that calling, to not neglect it? Well, in verse 5 here, you can see in our notes, he causes Timothy to remember his salvation. Remember your salvation. It actually has effect on your calling. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, so it's not pretended, it's real, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. So he's greatly desiring to see Timothy, verse 4, knowing of Timothy's tears, he wants that mutual joy, that I may be filled with joy just like you will be filled with joy. And he's remembering, he's helping Titus to remember. Oh, wait a second. I'm God's child, and God has a plan and purpose for my life, and that's the calling that he says in verse 6. Stir it up. Don't neglect the calling of God in your life. Be faithful to it. So, remembering your salvation encourages you to stay faithful to God's calling in your life. Secondly, remember God's empowering, and that's verse 7. So, salvation, call, and then a reminder here in verse 7 of God's empowering. And this is a verse that if you don't have memorized, you should. It's one of these wonderful snapshot verses that when you need a shot, a spiritual shot in the arm, here it is. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, Timothy. Don't be afraid of mankind. Now, that's the idea of that word fear. He's not talking about we shouldn't fear God. He's not talking about the normal fears of don't touch something hot. Okay, those are common fears. But he's talking about this fear that's debilitating to the work of the ministry. Stir up the gift of God, Timothy. Don't be afraid of what man may respond to you. Don't be afraid, and as we'll walk through the rest of the book, of potential persecution that's coming down the road. I know I'm in prison, Paul says. Timothy, I know I'm in prison. But you stand with me. And he says that as we go on from verse 7. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of a sound mind. Key ingredients for ministry. I can't, you can't do ministry without Christ's empowerment through the work of the Spirit, without a spirit of love for the people that you're ministering to. You understand. The ministry is about people, is it not? And yet it's people that sometimes really get under our skin. And I have to biblically, through the eyes and minds and heart of Christ, love the people I'm ministering to. Sunday school teachers. We got some Sunday school teachers here, all right? Of the young kids especially, or junior church workers. There we go. I picked on Carrie already, all right? In the midst of the battle of Sunday morning in the Sunday school class or junior church, you're supposed to love that nasty, naughty kid that's talking back to you right now or creating a whole ruckus and messing up your entire lesson. Okay? You need to remember God's given you the spirit of love. All right? It's not just about this one momentary battle. It's about the big picture of helping that child even, along with the rest of them, grow in Christ. All right? The spirit of love and of a sound mind. To be able to rightly think about life in light of Scripture. This is not talking about man's wisdom here, coming up with a common sense. This is not common sense, it's talking about biblical sense. Which, if common sense is good sense, it's biblical sense. Do you understand that, all right? God calls us. He says, Timothy, know the Word of God well and live it out in your life and think it through and help those that you're ministering to do it rightly well too. And he's going to talk about how to minister. We're going to see it later on in chapter number two, at the end of chapter two. The minister of God needs to be careful how he ministers to God's people who are even hurting themselves, okay? That's a part of that sound mind, how to make white, right and wise, white, that's a combination of wise and right together, all right? White, right and wise choices in ministry. Okay, and then finally, I'm not going to do finally. We're going to stop here because the time's up. So, stir up the gift of God. Believer, know that we need each other. That's why it was written. We need each other. Timothy needed the encouragement from Paul. Paul needed the presence of Timothy. And then stir up the gift of God. And that starts by remembering your salvation. And secondly, remembering the empowerment of God. And we'll pick up here, Lord willing, next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word and the power of it. The challenge even of this book is we'll be motivated and encouraged in our ministry for you. Father, what a joy it is to serve you in our various and numerous ways. Lord, you've gifted each of these dear saints of the Lord here with multiple gifts to be used here at the church and outreach and so forth. I pray that you would help us not to be discouraged in our ministry. May we be faithful in all that you've called us to do. May we be of mutual encouragement to one another, even tonight as we leave. In your name we pray. Amen. Choir, don't forget, we're having a little rehearsal. If you can come join us, that'll be great. Have a good night. You are dismissed.